rejoice in Jeremy's prayer there, and that he said that if we believe that, say with our mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in our heart God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I know at least of one individual this last week who has gone from death unto life because they proclaimed Jesus is Lord. Amen. So we rejoice in that, and we're just excited about what God is doing here at FBC. We have all heard sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. And we realize that's not true, right? Words can hurt. They can destroy. Wars have been started over words. How many times have you seen fights start because, what did you say? Turn around and get in a fight. I just think about the impeachment hearings just this week and coming up in this next week or so, all because of a conversation, a phone conversation by our president. While doing my paper out as a kid, my little brother was helping me on one occasion, and he would not deliver the paper to a particular house that I asked him to deliver. It's probably because I didn't want to deliver there either, but anyway, he wouldn't do it, and I said, I hate you. He says, oh, you're in danger of hellfire, and he ran home. I knew I was had. I had to ask his forgiveness, and I suffered some consequences that I didn't prefer. But words can hurt. I learned that it's more important to get in the first thought than the last word. Anyway, today we're talking about speech out of the book of Proverbs. Go ahead and turn to Proverbs. First passage I'm going to ask you to look at is in chapter 29, so Proverbs chapter 29. But our take-home thought this morning is your speech reveals the real you. Your speech reveals the real you. In Luke chapter 6, verse 45, it says, for out of the abundance of your heart, the mouth speaks. Why did you say what you said this morning? Why do you say what you say? It's because of what's in your heart, whether it was sweet or whether it was ugly. You said what you said because that's what's in your heart. So as we talk about this whole matter of speech, the only way to put on the good speech of which we're going to speak of today is by changing your heart. That's first and foremost. We're not going to do what we call around here fruit stapling. We're not going to say, okay, you ought to talk like this, you ought to talk like this, you ought to talk like this, without having the root change, which is your heart. It's got to change through the power of God and the Holy Spirit of God in you. It starts with salvation through Jesus Christ. First of all, in order to change your speech, you have to have a changed heart. And that's what happened with this young lady this last week. She trusted Christ as Savior, and now she's going to start growing in her faith. But it starts with the changed heart. So just want to make that clear out of the gate. And I'm speaking to the many of you who have trusted Christ as Savior, that you've trusted Christ and you've asked the Lord to save you. Now you need to grow, and one way to grow is in the way that you talk, the way you speak to one another or to other people. So you are to speak in a way that honors God. Speak as a believer, you speak in a way that brings honor and glory to Almighty God. Now around here, we talk a lot about what we call the four rules of communication. I've said on occasion, when I'm dead and gone, I want FBC to remember that Pastor Dale taught them at least three things. The first thing is the whole issue of forgiveness. Your greatest need is forgiveness. Forgiveness from God, forgiveness from one another. You need to be willing to ask forgiveness and to grant forgiveness. And so forgiveness is essential. The second thing I want you to know is how to change and grow. To put off the old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, and put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness as a result of our minds being changed through the power of God. That's progressive sanctification. The third one that I really want you to know and remember are the four rules of communication. Now, we review these once in a while. And rule number one, does anybody know it? Oh, I need to preach on these now. I thought at least more than one person would know that. Rule number one is be honest. That means that you speak the truth in love. All right? Rule number two is keep current. That means solve today's problems today. These are all taken, by the way, out of Ephesians chapter 4. Rule number three is attack the problem, not the person. That means no name calling. All right, we don't call each other names around here. We don't do it in the home. No name calling. Attack the problem, not the person. And then number four is act, don't react. And so I summarize that rule by saying act, don't react. All right. So let's see if you can remember them. Rule number one is be honest. Rule number two, keep current. Number three, attack the problem, not the person. Rule number four, act, don't react. Very good. Very good. I'm encouraged. We teach those. We live in light of those. We practice those here at church. We practice them in our homes. We practice them during the meetings that we have here and our members' meetings. And that's the four rules of communication. Biblical communication is our rule around here. I want you to know that the four rules of communication out of Ephesians 4, that's not the only place that it speaks of biblical communication. There's more to say. Those are good summations of what the Bible says about this. But we find a whole bunch of it in the book of James, for example, James chapter 3, James chapter 4. And the book of Proverbs is full of information on how to speak and how not to speak. And so we want to learn how to speak in a way that brings honor to God. So first of all, let's look at how you ought not to speak. How you ought not to speak. It's not an exhaustive study. In fact, at the end of your notes, you're going to see a little paragraph that says, digging deeper. I'm going to encourage you this next week and in the weeks ahead, go through the book of Proverbs and just take note of all that the Proverbs says about speech. Wow, there's a lot we can learn from. So this is just this is kind of a highlight of this. And so hopefully it whets your appetite for further study. How you ought not to speak. Here are some prohibitions. First of all, don't use hasty words. Don't speak before you think. In Proverbs, there are two things for which there's less hope for than a fool. The first one is a man who's wise in his own eyes. Chapter 26 and verse 12. Do you see a man wise in his own eyes? There's more hope for a fool than him. That is a know-it-all. The know-it-all has a tendency to speak hastily. He tries to get in, tries to butt in and dominates the conversation. But the second way for which there's less hope for than a fool is a man hasty in his words. Look at 29, verse 20. I ask you to turn to chapter 29. Look at verse 20. Do you see a man who is hasty in his words? There is more hope for a fool than for him. So, couple of directives here. Don't make hasty promises. Don't be too quick to make a promise or a commitment that you are not able to keep. In chapter 6, turn back to chapter 6. If you have YouVersion, these are all looked up for you. There are a lot of passages here, so we're going to move right along. But chapter 6, verses 1 through 5. My son, if you have put up security for your neighbor, have given your pledge to a stranger, if you are snared in the words of your mouth, caught in the words of your mouth, then do this, my son, and save yourself. What it's talking about here is making a hasty commitment, a promise too quickly. Specifically, it's talking about co-signing for a loan. If you say, oh yeah, I'll take care of that. In fact, I have a friend, he's actually spoken here, Jim Rickard. He says, don't co-sign for a loan. This here really cautions you against this. Don't make a hasty commitment, a hasty promise. He says, the one exception that he would see is if a parent is co-signing for a child who's just getting started with credit and so on. But you realize you're taking that burden upon yourself. If they falter in that loan, don't make a hasty commitment. Don't make a hasty promise. Dads, parents, be careful regarding the promises that you make your kids. If or when they're not fulfilled, it hurts. We watch some detective shows on television once in a while. And, you know, someone was killed, and so then the detective comes along and the individual says, oh, please help us and find this person. bring them to justice. And they say, ma'am, I promise you that we will do this. And I'm like, really? It's TV, I know, but can you really do that? Don't be too hasty. Dads, parents, be careful of the promises that you make your kids. Because if they're not fulfilled, it hurts. I heard it put this way. The things you remember, your kids forget. The things you forget, your kids tell their therapists. Don't make hasty promises. Another directive, don't draw hasty conclusions. This is really important. Turn to chapter 18 and verse 13. Don't draw hasty conclusions. Don't have a quick retort. Or don't assume. This even refers to the 100% words like, you always do that, or you never help around the house. You be careful with those words. I know what you're thinking. Be careful with those words. Proverbs 18:13 says, if one gives an answer before he hears, it is his folly and shame. You cannot, you're forbidden by Scripture in this passage being one of them, you cannot jump to conclusions. Be careful with that. You cannot read people's minds. I know what you're thinking. Don't give me that look. You know, you got to be careful. Don't do that. Chapter 29, verse 20, we just read that a little bit. You see a man who is hasty in his words, there's more hope for a fool than for him. So don't use hasty words. Secondly, don't use lying words. Don't lie. This involves more than just not lying, okay? It starts with that. Don't leave out the truth. Proverbs 6, verses 16 through 19. This is interesting because it says, there are six things that the Lord hates. And then it's almost like it says, oh, there are seven. Seven that are an abomination to him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that make haste to run to evil, a false witness who breathes out lies, and one who sows discord among brothers. Talks about lying twice. Out of seven things that the Lord hates, two times he says lies. God hates it. You say, well, why is that? Well, for one thing, John chapter 8, verse 44 says that Satan is the father of lies. Satan is the father of lies. Don't be like Satan. Lying is evil. A mother asked her son if he knew what a lie was. And he says, oh yeah, I know what a lie is. It's an abomination to the Lord and a very present help in time of trouble. A lot of times we lie to try to get out of something. Or we feel like we're trapped. I had someone after the early service say, I just taught my kids tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help me God. Just like a courtroom. You can't go wrong if you tell the truth, speak the truth. And you know what? Lying can become a terrible habit. You think that if you get into a bind, you got to tell a lie. I worked with an individual years ago when we were pastoring in Fort Wayne. This guy just lied when he didn't have to lie and just embellished the truth, which goes on to my next point. You don't leave out the truth, but don't add to the truth. All right? Don't add to it. This is speaking of the Word of God in chapter 30, verses 5 and 6. Proverbs 30. Verses 5 and 6, every word of God proves true. The word of God is our standard for truth. Right? And we base truth upon what God has said. Isn't that interesting? We're talking about speech. And this is what God says. All right? Words are important. Every word of God proves true. He is a shield to those who take refuge in Him. Do not add to His words, lest he rebuke you and you be found a liar. When you add to the Scriptures, you're changing what God says. And that's the way many cults and false teachings start. That's Satan's way, is to add to the truth. And when you add to it, it takes away from it. We think, oh, we have a good idea about how to live a godly life, And then we try to make that into truth. That if I do it, everybody else has to do it. That's what got the Pharisees in trouble, right? Don't add to the truth. But also, don't contradict the truth. Chapter 17 and verse 4. Chapter 17, verse 4, don't contradict the truth. An evildoer listens to wicked lips, and a liar gives ear to a mischievous tongue. Having the idea of contradicting that which is true. Lying is evil. Just guard your heart from lying. And sometimes you feel trapped, it's tough. You're better off speaking the truth right out of the gate. Here's another prohibition, and that is don't use hurtful words. This is probably applicable to 99.9% of us, right? This really gets us into trouble when we use hurtful words. Here are some examples. First of all, angry words. The idea of angry words here in chapter 12 and verse 6, the words of the wicked, listen, lie in wait for blood. Words. Lie in wait for blood. These are words that incite bloodshed or anger. That's the kind of words that the wicked use. Chapter 26, verses 18 and 19. This is very important. I'd like for you to look this up if you don't have it there already. Chapter 26, verses 18 and 19. If I didn't tell you this verse was in the Bible, you probably wouldn't believe me. But it says, like a madman who throws firebrands, arrows, and death. It's like someone who goes around town and just starts shooting randomly to hurt people. In that day, it would be with an arrow. In our day, it would be just like just going around shooting with a gun. Like a madman who throws firebrands, arrows, and death is the man who deceives his neighbor, who lies to his neighbor and says, hey, I was only joking. Come on. You know, have you heard that? I just want to encourage you. Be careful with your joking. Now, I like to joke. I like to tease. I like to have fun. And so do many of you. And that's fine. But let's be careful doing it. Let's think before we speak. Because sometimes there's just that bit of truth that we want to get our dig in. And then it's like, come on, I was only joking. Come on. But you really had some truth there that you wanted to get across. Be careful. Be careful. Proverbs warns against that. Angry words. Be cautious about angry words. Another example is gossiping words. Gossip is hurtful. Chapter 11, verse 13. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 13. Whoever goes about slandering reveals secrets. But he who is trustworthy in spirit keeps a thing covered. Another passage, chapter 25, verses 9 and 10. Argue your case with your neighbor himself and do not reveal another's secrets, lest he who hears you bring shame upon you and your ill repute have no end. Be careful when it comes to the matter of gossip. Gossip hurts. And sometimes that's an accusation against the church. All right? Not just this church. I've heard it concerning this church. But many churches, they're just a bunch of gossips. And so when you get into life groups, be careful. And oftentimes we couch it in a prayer request, right? Hey, I have a prayer request about somebody. And you start talking about them, be careful. We have, you know, our men's Bible studies, our ladies' Bible studies, the ladies' ministries, and so on. Be careful about your talk. Guard against gossip. Those are hurtful words. The Hebrew, when it talks about gossip, talks about things greedily devoured. Isn't that, hey, I got a juicy morsel to tell you, you know. We tend to really like that kind of stuff. But gossip affects the inner you, and later we tend to regret it. Here's another example of hurtful words, and those are harsh words. Harsh words. Proverbs 15 and verse 1. This is probably familiar to many of you. It's oftentimes used even outside the church. But a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Harsh words are words that hurt. They're painful words. They're idolatrous. They're sorrowful, laborious. Words that weigh down. It can be the way a word is said that can be hurtful. Chapter 13 and verse 3, whoever guards his mouth preserves his life. He who opens wide his lips comes to ruin. The phrase there, open wide your lips, means to speak freely or loosely. Speaking one's mind without consideration has the idea of talking too much. Be careful about what you say, when you say it, and how you say it. A lot of times people have the idea of, you know, I just say what I think and then I just try to clean it up afterwards. You know, I call them as I see them. You got to be careful. Can refer to tone of voice, sarcasm, facial expressions. It's all means of communication. We got to guard our hearts from these things. The idea here, harsh words can refer to the word itself, cursing or coarse words. Chapter 4, verse 24 says, put away from you crooked speech. Put devious talk far from you. These also are words that attack the person and his character, which goes back to attack the problem, not the person. Rule number three. But in chapter 12, verse 18, it says, there is one whose rash words are like... Let me start that over. There is one whose rash words are like sword thrusts. Your words can hurt just like the thrust of a sword. That hurts, that pierces through. It refers to inciting anger, name calling, obscene gestures, even sticking out your tongue. Can have this idea of being hurtful toward another. So we have all of this going on here. And God says, don't do it. Don't do it. He gives us that direction. Now, if you were on a football team and you showed up and the coach said, okay, I don't want any of you to tackle by the head. Stop grabbing the face mask. No more jumping off sides. Quit blocking from behind. Told them all the things they were not supposed to do. They'd be standing out there going, okay, I'm not going to do it. And they just don't do anything. So if we stopped here, it would just be, okay, this is what you ought not to do. The question is, what should we do? And a coach would have to say, okay, here are the things that you should do, and here's how you do them. So we want to get into that here concerning our speech. So we want to talk about how you ought to speak. And again, this is not exhaustive. Scripture has a lot to say about this, as well as does Proverbs. So here are some directives. First of all, speak inspiring words. Speak inspiring words. Words of love. Words of love. In chapter 16, verse 24, it says, gracious words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the body. It's not a matter, when you speak words of love, it's not a matter of patronizing, it's not a matter of manipulating, it's not a matter of flattering. Guard against that. But it's a matter of speaking the truth in love. I just want to encourage you, get used to saying, I love you. Start in the home. If that's not your habit, I just encourage you. Start saying at least once a day to your spouse, to your kids, to your grandkids, I love you. Get used to that. Get used to saying that in the church to one another. We ought to have the highest form of love. in the home and in the church. Agape love. Being willing to think of and speak of concerning another's highest good. And so get used to saying, I love you. And there are homes, it's very difficult. I'm not going to ask for a raise of hands, but there's no doubt there are homes here. It's like, man, it's just really uncomfortable. Get comfortable with it. It's important. It's not just a matter to know it. It's a matter of expressing it in your words to one another. Speaking the truth in love. So speak inspiring words. Another inspiring word would be words of comfort. A soft answer turns away wrath. This answer indicates a proper response. We often think, oh, I wouldn't have said what I said, or I wouldn't have blown up if you hadn't started it. Well, he started it. I'm just full disclosure here. I'm here with you, okay? I'm in this with you. Just Friday night, we like to watch TV. My wife and I, Teresa and I, watch TV together. And we have a sectional couch, and she sits at the other end. And we text each other when we want to talk. Not really. It's just a really big couch, you know. So she's over there. We're watching television, and I guess I'm a lazy listener because I just don't like have to work to understand what's being said on TV. So I have the remote, and I turn it up. And during the program, I can understand. I want it loud enough so I can understand what's being said. And, the most difficult for me are those BBC programs where they have the accents, you know, and it's just like, oh, man, I can't understand. What did they say? What did they say? We're talking about, you know. She hears it. She understands it. Some people say it's selective hearing, but, you know, I have trouble hearing some things that I want to understand. So we have it turned up so I can understand it. Then the commercials come on, and it's like, rah, 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 you know, they're just really loud. And I was doing something, I wasn't paying attention, and she goes, could you please turn the volume down? I'm going deaf. And I got huffy. And I'm like, whatever, you know, and I'm just turn the thing, I mute the thing, like, I'll show you, you know. And it's like, I'm just kind of like, Dale. In my mind, I'm going, you idiot, you know, you sinful, you know, husband, you can't even love your wife and everything like you should. And before I went to bed, I was just eating at me. I'm like, Teresa, would you please forgive me for my sinful anger concerning the volume on the television? I mean, what a silly idol, you know. And it was, again, it's just rather than words of comfort, a soft answer, turning away wrath, I use harsh words. And so I'm thinking, okay, here's one area where I need to grow, and what I'm encouraging you to do is plan ahead on those kinds of situations, and this is what I'm going to do. I'm thinking about what can I say instead of, because I just wasn't thinking, and I just, it was loud, and I could say, oh yeah, honey, that is really loud, isn't it? And I can just graciously turn the volume down. One of the guys after the early service told me to just say, yes, dear. You know, so he's older than I, so I need to learn that. Yes, dear. You know, just turn the thing down. Why get so upset? Use words of comfort. The point here is a tender response diffuses the bomb. So practice ahead of time. Practice the tender response. The world wants to think of a better comeback, right? Yeah, I get, you know, just off the top of their heads or whatever, to think of a better comeback. Use words of comfort. Words of encouragement. That's another way to speak inspiring words. Words of encouragement. Chapter 23, verse 15. My son, if your heart is wise, my heart too will be glad. My inmost being will exult when your lips speak what is right. How much better, as Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, let no unwholesome words come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up, that it may benefit those who listen. Don't tear them down by your words. Build one another up. How much better to think, you know, wow, man, that was really encouraging. That was really helpful, as opposed to, oh man, I don't ever want to talk to them again. Words of encouragement. Words spoken strike deeply. Words have the power to encourage. They have the power to motivate. So I would just encourage you to practice this at home instead of just huffing and grumbling and negative speech and language. And, you know, oh man, stay away from Dad. You know, man, he's got something wrong with him. You know, it's like, no, let it start with us. Husbands, start with us. To be encouraging, to be helpful, to be a blessing to others by the things that we say. And then let it be practiced throughout the home. Here's another directive, and that's speak instructive words. Speaking of the virtuous woman, in chapter 31, verse 26, she opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. I appreciate that about my wife. She does speak words of wisdom. She gives me good counsel. She gives other people good counsel. And thankfully, she graciously forgives too. Chapter 15, verse 7 says, "The lips of the wise spread knowledge, not so the hearts of fools." The lips of the wise spread knowledge. Let's use instructive words, words that are going to encourage and help others. And encourage others to grow. And then finally, speak timely words. Timely words. Chapter 15, verse 23. Says, "To make an apt answer is a joy to a man, and a word in season, how good it is." An apt answer, an appropriate answer. To respond appropriately. Yes, dear, I can turn the volume down. That was pretty loud, wasn't it? An apt reply. Speak timely words. Chapter 10 and verse 9. Speak words. "When words are many, transgression is not lacking, but whoever restrains his lips is prudent." You hold your tongue, and it shows prudence on your part. This refers to words that build up, that edify, that are appropriate. And that's the kind of speech that we replace our words, things that we should not say, with things that God desires you to say. And there's so much more in here. But I want to close with this. Look at the benefits. We want to look at the benefits of tongue control. The benefits of tongue control. Well, first of all, it minimizes your trouble. The benefits of tongue control, it minimizes your trouble. In chapter 21, verse 23, "Whoever keeps his mouth and his tongue keeps himself out of trouble." Think about that. How often do your words, what you say, get you into trouble? You say them and it's like, I want to take them back. I shouldn't have said that. Again, that's where the importance of forgiveness. Will you please forgive me for saying what I said? It was sinful. It was wrong. Chapter 14, verse 3 says, "By the mouth of a fool comes a rod for his back, but the lips of the wise will preserve them." There's protection. It minimizes trouble. Another benefit is it builds relationships. Chapter 16, verse 7, "When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him." When you speak the way God wants you to speak, there's good relationships. First of all, with God. You know you've pleased God. But then there's also good relationship with others in the home and in the church. What a blessing. And again, in our meetings here at FBC, whether it's our members' meetings or committee meetings or pastors and deacons' meetings, our rule of communication, our rule of order is biblical communication. And so it builds relationships. You also become known as a peacemaker. Chapter 15 and verse 1, "Soft answer turns away wrath." Chapter 20, verse 3, "It is an honor for a man to keep aloof from strife, but every fool will be quarreling. It's to your honor to avoid strife by using language that helps instead of tears down. You become known as a peacemaker. You also become known as a wise person. Chapter 10 and verse 19. When words are many, transgression will not be lacking, but whoever restrains his lips is prudent. Chapter 17, verses 27 and 28. Whoever restrains his words has knowledge, and he who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding. Even a fool who keeps silent is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he's deemed intelligent. Again, when we're in a meeting, there's usually one or two in a meeting. They just don't say a lot. And finally someone will say, "Oh, hey, old Sam over here, what do you have to say about this?" And they've been quiet the whole time, and then they speak, and it's like when they speak, everybody listens, because you can tell they've been thinking it through the whole discussion. So you become known as a wise person. And then finally, you obtain a good reputation. Chapter 22, verse 1. A good name is to be chosen rather than great riches, and favor is better than silver or gold. You know, how much better to be spoken of as someone who has their act together as opposed to someone who's out of control by the way they talk. To gain a good reputation. It's valuable. So this morning, what I'm encouraging you to do is change. And the first way to change, of course, is the only way to change in a way that pleases God is to come to Him in salvation through Jesus Christ. To trust Christ as Savior. That changes your heart. And then out of the abundance of your heart, the mouth speaks. So as you learn, change, and grow by putting off the old self, be made new in the attitude of your mind, change your thinking. Some here need to change your thinking about everybody's out to get me. And so you're angry and it reflects in the way you speak to think, how can I minister and serve others, even by the way I speak? So we allow God to work on your heart, but then change your habits concerning speech. There may be some who, maybe you struggle with lying or exaggerating. You need to focus on the truth. There may be others who are harsh. It's interesting that Colossians says, husbands, love your wives and don't be harsh with them. Why does he tell husbands to do that? Didn't say that to wives. Usually it's because when he speaks specific to a specific group of people in the scriptures, it's because that group has trouble in that area. And so I encourage, guys, set the pattern at home. Change. And don't be harsh. Don't be harsh with your wife. Don't be harsh with your children. And so speak with kindness. We're talking about replacing. How do I get rid of harshness? Start speaking kindly in a way that encourages and helps. It doesn't mean that you just overlook everything, but as you deal with those, you speak kindly. Change. How about gossip? Changing from a gossip to showing love and care for others. Keeping your thoughts to yourself, possibly. How about quarreling? Instead of quarreling, be a peacemaker. Be known as someone who tries to get situations resolved, or complaining. That's another thing that it can be a terrible habit. When you come in from work, oh man, this is terrible. I'll tell you, it was the worst thing ever. Or in the church, you know, just complaining, or even in the home, why isn't dinner ready? Don't be known as a complainer. Don't we need to change? But rather, instead of complaining, encourage, and love. We all need this. We all struggle with one aspect of this or another. Nobody's off the hook, right? And I'm saying, hey, you can hold me accountable. Hey, how's it going with, yes, dear? I'll know what you're talking about. How can we encourage one another? That's what meaningful membership is about, is encouraging one another to walk in righteousness and be faithful to the honor and glory of God with the power of the Spirit working in and through us. Let's ask for His help. Heavenly Father, we come to You and we thank You for Your Word. Your Word is truth. It's given us instruction here this morning on how to live in a way that brings honor and glory to You in the area of speech. Thank You. Thank You for helping us. Not only to give these instructions, but that we have the power of the Spirit to enable us. And so we ask for that help. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, I think God's asking us to work on change in this area. And so I'm asking You, how are You going to change? In what ways do You need to change? And allow God to work on your heart, to change your heart concerning these matters. There may be someone who say, I need a new heart. I need a clean heart. I need to come to Christ in salvation. I'm not certain of my eternal life through Jesus Christ. I need that.